Keep your Bibles open there. Well, I want you to just think for a moment and give your prayer life a score out of 10. From 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. How would you score your prayer life? Have a think for a moment. I don't know what you said, but the surest way to make a Christian feel guilty is to ask them about their prayer life. We were in Foundations. We listened to a talk on prayer, and the speaker, a well-known author and Christian speaker, told the story about how the publisher came to him and asked him to write a book on prayer. And he sort of felt completely inadequate and said, I don't think I'm the right person to do this, and suggested someone else. And they said, we've asked him, and he said he wasn't up to it either. It's an encouragement, isn't it, that reminds us of the struggle that we all have to pray. Even the maturest and greatest saints find it a battle to pray. It's certainly how I come to the topic this morning. I don't come as someone, as an expert who I haven't got 200 things to pray on my PrayerMate app. I find it a battle. But my aim this morning, as we think on the topic of prayer, is not to make us feel guilty about our lack of prayer, but to remind you of the great privilege and importance of prayer. I find it tremendously helpful as I've prepared and reflected on why we pray and how we pray. And I pray it will be a privilege. You'll enjoy the privilege of prayer too. So let me pray for us as we depend on the Lord. Father, we come on this topic honest about our weakness. You know our hearts, and you know our lack of prayerfulness. You know the reality rather than what we present to others. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us afresh, again, of the privilege of prayer, of the purpose of prayer, of why we need to and should want to pray. And we pray that through that, you would give us a greater desire to pray. Would you grow us as a praying church for your glory? Amen. Well, that's what we're thinking about today, our prayer, and it's one of the commitments we're working through. As the commitments that we sign up to as members here, for those who are members. But it's true for all of us, isn't it? We are to be praying Christians, whether a member of church or not. But this is what we commit to at Christ Church. We will do our best to be one who prays individually and, wherever possible, meets with the rest of the church to pray for unity, ministry, leaders and members of Christ Church and the wider church. We commit to being prayers. Praying for one another, praying for the ministry, both individually and corporately. And I want us to look at the Lord's Prayer to see the encouragements for prayer. And it's encouraging in itself, isn't it, that here Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray. There's two encouragements there before we even start. There's an encouragement that here is Jesus himself praying. So if he needs to pray, then we need to pray, certainly. But also that the disciples need to be taught to pray. We all need to be taught how to pray. So why should we pray, though? Why should we pray? Well, firstly, we should pray because of the privilege of prayer. It is a privilege to be able to pray. It's there in those first four words of Jesus' prayer. Our Father in heaven. Just stop for a moment and think about the significance of that. Of being able to address the God of the universe as our Father. There's a well-known saying that the Muslims have 99 names for God, but not one of them is Father. Mighty, powerful, but not Father. You see, well, a prayer is not unique to Christians, is it? It's actually almost universal. Different religions all kind of pray. Even the most ardent atheist will admit that they occasionally have cried out to someone or something greater than themselves. If we are honest about ourselves, if we recognise our limitations and our inability, we know that if there's something else out there, we need to pray. But how we pray and why we pray and when we pray says a lot about what you think you're praying to. So Buddhists, they have their prayer wheel that they spin. Or Hindus repeat their mantras. But Christians, what do? Well, they talk to their Heavenly Father. Because at the heart of Christian prayer is the privilege of talking to a relational God, just like a child with their parent. It's amazing, isn't it, that we can know the God of the universe like that, so that we can just talk to him. There's no sort of rituals or hoops we have to jump through. We can just come and talk. Just in the same way that Christ himself does. Because here it is, isn't it? It's Jesus saying, Our Father. You see, Jesus is praying this to his Heavenly Father. And he's telling his disciples and us that we can address him in exactly the same way. With exactly the same confidence. He's saying to his disciples, you have the same relationship with the Father as I have with him. And they have it because of Christ. See, why can we call God our Father? Well, because Jesus has opened up the way to God. It's not ours by right. It is only God's children who become his children through being adopted in the Lord Jesus that we become able to call him our Father. As we saw last week in Hebrews 10, it's because Jesus, through his death, has opened up the way to God that he has gained access for us as he reconciles us to him, as he removes the barrier of our sin and God's wrath at it, and instead clothes us with his righteousness, so that we can be seen as his children and be treated in exactly the same way as the Lord Jesus. And that is an awesome privilege. That when we pray, we often end, don't we, in Jesus' name. Or for Jesus' name's sake. And when we say that, it's not just a kind of a little warning to everyone to get ready to say prayer, to say amen. It's not like yours sincerely at the end of a letter. But it's acknowledging the basis on which we come to Christ, come to God the Father. That we come through Christ. The reason we can come and bring these prayers and requests to him as our Heavenly Father is not on our merits, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if that is the case, then I ask myself, why don't I value the privilege of prayer more? You may have heard the familiar illustration of Abraham Lincoln's son, Tad. It goes that Tad was walking around the grounds of the White House when he came upon a soldier, a retired soldier from the Civil War. And the soldier looked sad and dejected, and so Tad went up and asked him why he was so upset. And he explained that he had an issue that he wanted to speak to the president about because of a sort of land dispute. But every time he went up to try to get access into the White House, the guards would turn him away. At that point, Tad said, "Come with me." And he took the soldier and he walked through past the guards right into the Oval Office to stand before his father and to plead the case on the soldier's behalf. And that is the access that we have to God the Father through his Son. To even come, even more so, I guess, to come and be able to call him our Father. And so that means that firstly, it means that we can come with confidence. When we pray, we come with confidence. Because it says in Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, it goes on to say, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" And it's true, isn't it? No father, at least no loving father, doesn't want to give their child what they need. A father loves for their child to come and to talk to them and to ask for things. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. We can come with confidence knowing he wants to hear us. That's a contrast to the pagans that I mentioned just before in verse 7, who pray by babbling and thinking that they kind of, the amount of words that they say and the way and their sort of the eloquence of their prayers will somehow gain access to God. But Noah, our Father, knows what we need even before we ask him. So we can come with confidence because we can come to him as our Father. But more than that, we can come with confidence because it is our Father is in heaven. Our Father's in heaven. There's many times when I want to give my children good things. I would love to give them all that they ask for. But I can't. I haven't got the money. I need a lot of money. Or the time. Or the ability. I see them upset and I would love to make whatever's gone wrong better. But I can't. I'm not able to. I often can't even give them what I promised. I say I'll do something, and not out of any bad intention on my part, but I can't give it to them because circumstances change outside of my control. I'm weak. But our Father is in heaven. He is the one who is the sovereign Lord of all. He's the one who holds everything in his hands, who owns all in the universe. And so we can know that he is able to give us what we need. And he can do all that he has promised. And what's more, if he's gone to the lengths of sending his son to endure the cross for our sake, to open up this access, then surely as well, we know that having become his children, now being part of his family, he wants to listen and answer our prayers. So the first reason we pray is because of the enormous privilege of prayer, of being able to come to talk to the God of the universe as our Heavenly Father, who is both willing and able to hear us and answer our prayers. That's the first reason. The second reason, why should we pray? Well, because God is dependent on our prayers. God depends on your prayers. Maybe thinking, hang on a minute, is that right? God is dependent on my prayers. Surely you've just said that God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. All power and riches and blessings reside in him. So why does he need my prayers? Surely he's not dependent on anyone. He just speaks and the world is created. Why does he need me? But God, in his incredible gracious wisdom, has chosen to tie his will and his plan for the universe to your weak and feeble prayers. He's chosen to make them the means by which he brings about his purposes in this world. When I was younger, I used to love map reading for my dad. And this was the days before sat-nav, which have saved a lot of marriages, but would have spoiled my time with my father. Because what I would do, he lived in the middle of nowhere in Wales, and I'd go and stay with him during the holidays, and I'd love to read the maps and tell him where to go. I was about 8 or 9 at the time, and so my map reading skills weren't actually that good. And often I would miss the turning or go the wrong way. Now, my dad knew all the roads around there like the back of his hands, and he could have at any point chosen just to ignore me and to go the right way, to take us home the quickest way possible. But if I said it was straight on and we actually needed to turn, he'd listen to me and he would carry on the way I wanted to go. Because for him, there was something more important than taking us on the quickest way home. Something more important than getting there fastest. But actually the enjoyment and pleasure of involving his child in the task. And that's what God does with us, his children. He wonderfully and graciously includes us in his plan, using our prayers as the means by which he brings about his purposes. Just look at how the Lord's Prayer starts. It doesn't start with what we need, but with what God wants. It's about him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's right, isn't it, that God's name be hallowed, or he is the one who rightly deserves to be praised. That's what hallowed means, to be praised. And that's why we and this whole world exists, for his praise. And our desire is to be the same as his desire. So his desire is to build his kingdom. That's his plan, to bring about Christ's kingdom here on earth and for eternity in the new creation. That's his will. And what he does is he wants us to pray for that to happen. For us to want to see God's work that he's begun in Jesus be continued now as his rule extends through the earth and brought to completion in eternity. And he uses our prayers to bring that about. You see, he could just get on with it by himself. But like my dad driving home, he doesn't choose the easy option. But amazingly, Jesus here tells us to pray for it. Because he wants to involve us in that task. He could just snap his fingers and the whole world would bow the knee to him. He could just speak and his rule will be established. But he says to us, pray for it. As one author put it, prayer is the vital means by which he's chosen to involve us in his actions, regardless of any sensational results that we may see. Or even more simply, the early church father Augustine says, without God we cannot, without us he will not. You see, we are God's fellow workers. When we're called to follow Christ, we become partners in his work. And despite our immaturity, our inexperience, that often we are more of a hindrance than a help, he includes us from day one in that process, in the family business, as he calls us to participate in his work in this world. And he starts that. That starts with our prayers. He brings about his purposes in the world through the prayers of his people. So isn't that a great reason to pray? the privilege, but also the responsibility that God needs us to pray if he's going to act in this world. Because he's chosen that to be the means by which he does it. Thirdly, we are to pray because we are dependent on God. We're to pray because we're dependent on God. I don't know about you, but that's often where I start when I pray, by praying for myself, all the things that I need. I skip straight over verses 9 and 10 and start with verse 11. Dive straight in with my will, with my list of demands of what I want and need. It's why we pray more when things go wrong, isn't it? Why do we find ourselves on our knees when things start to go wrong? Because we recognize the limit of our abilities and capacity, and so we're forced to cry out to God. But actually, that's also the thing that stops us from so often praying. Because the reason I don't pray more is because I don't really see the depth of my dependence on God. Apart from those situations where I kind of reach the end of my capacity and my resources, and I'm forced to accept that, most of the time, I think I'm self-sufficient. I think that actually, that what I do and what I have comes from me. So God becomes the fourth emergency service that we cry out to in time of need. But in the general day-to-day things of life, we have it under control. And so actually, we don't think we need to pray verse 11. We don't think we need to say, give us today our daily bread. I don't think many of us, if any of us, will have gone without food for a day. And yet it hasn't miraculously fallen from heaven, like the manna in the desert. It's come from me going out and working hard and earning money and going to the shops and preparing it. It's all down to me. And that attitude actually expresses the reality for most of our life, doesn't it? Not just in what we eat, but in all that we have and we want and we need. We think that it depends on us. But actually, verse 11 expresses the reality. Jesus says we're to pray, give us today our daily bread. Because everything that we have, we depend upon God for. Every day, we are dependent on him for everything. If he withdrew his hand for one moment and took away his common grace to us, then we would have nothing. One of my prayers for the coronavirus and the floods and all that seems to be going on, we seem to have gone through a winter of chaos. And for all the other things that I'm praying, one thing is that it will cause us as a society, as people, to see our need for the Lord, to be challenged and woken from their self-sufficiency, this sense that we can control things, and suddenly we see we can't. And my prayer is that will cause people to look again to God and to find the only refuge and shelter. But it's not just to be in emergencies when that happens. That is to be our attitude in every day, in everything that we do. We're to be dependent on God for our daily provisions, verse 11. But also, verse 12, we're to be dependent on him for our pardon, for the forgiveness of sins, to recognize that each day we need new mercy from the Lord. And verse 13, we need protection. We need protection. We need to not be led into temptation, to be protected from evil. We depend on God for all those things every single day. And that's not just physically, but also spiritually. How are you going to keep going and growing as a Christian, as we've been thinking about in this series? How are you going to be a committed member? How are you going to be here each week? How are you going to be making the most of that, to be those who are investing in each other's lives? How are you going to be those who listen to Jesus, who don't get distracted by all the other things? In your strength? Or because you're dependent on God to give you what you need, to give you the privilege of meeting together, to keep you walking closely with Christ? We need to be praying every single day. If we recognize our weakness and our dependence, we will call out to God far more than we ever do. We are to be like little children. And what do little children do? They call out to the one who is able to give them what they need. And even when they quickly become independent, so just think about eating. It's very quick, isn't it, for the child to grab their own spoon and think they can do it. And they think they're feeding themselves. But they're not, are they? Why is that food there in front of them? Well, because mum has put it there. Who actually does most of the feeding? They proudly take one mouthful, but with the other 50 are mum. See, we are children dependent on our Father. We need to be fed and carried and kept safe. But that doesn't mean that God is like a genie, where we pray and God gives us what we want. No, just like any loving parent, God gives us what we need, not what we want. The mum, even though the child is dependent on the parent, the mum doesn't give ice cream every time the child asks for it. Dad might, but mum doesn't. That's not what parent does, is it? They don't give everything that their child asks for because they know it's not good for them. And so whilst we can pray for anything, because it's good, isn't it? God, we're told to cast all our cares on God. And it's good and right that if we have things that we desire, then we're to pray for them. But then we should also pray that our hearts change so that what we desire is what God wants and what we need. So they're shaped more by his concerns than our concerns. But we are to recognize our dependence on God, and that is a reason to pray. And that will, of course, mean as well that our prayers are filled with thankfulness, won't it? Because we're not just praying for the things that we need, but actually we are thankful for the things that we have. Because again, we know they all come from God. They don't come from me. And so our prayers will be filled with thankfulness. So there you go. There's three reasons why we should be praying. Because of the privilege of prayer and talking to our Heavenly Father. Because God depends on our prayers to bring about his purposes, for his will to be done. And because we depend on God for all that we have and all that we need. But as we finish though, I just want to quickly mention a few ways this should shape how we pray. So how should we pray? Well, the first thing to say, there is no special technique. There's no technique to talking to your father, is there? To a parent, you just talk. That was at a talk. A friend was at a diocesan meeting for ordinance when I was going through training, and they talked about what is prayer. And this seemed like a perplexing question for many people, which was sad to see. But they, prayer. Well, it's a silence. It's a stillness. It's a this and a that, and it's indescribable. And a cocky friend of mine offered a definition, and he wrote up and just wrote, prayer is talking to God. And that's it, isn't it? That's all there is to it. There's no special place we have to go to or special posture we have to adopt. We can pray through the Spirit in any time. Certain contexts may help us to pray. It's good to spend quality time with the Lord, not just snatch moments in the busyness of life. We wouldn't do that in any other relationship, would we? We'd want to, in the chaos of family life, you want to have special time with a friend rather than just kind of snatching the moments in between. Sit down and talk with them properly. But we can pray anytime, anywhere. But secondly, prayer is something to be done both individually and corporately. Our prayer life is not just to be something we do when we're together. As Sue was saying, it's sometimes easier to do that, isn't it? Because we are kind of kept accountable. But the privilege of coming to your Heavenly Father is something that you're to enjoy all the time. Each day you can meet with the Lord of the universe and talk to Him just like your Father. But also we are to do it together, because we're to express our dependence as a church, not just as individuals, as we pray together for the work that we're seeking to be involved in here at Christ Church. As we seek to acknowledge and pray for God's will to be done in the things around here. That's why Connect Central is so important. It should really be the main meeting of the month, the priority for us all to come to, because it's where the action happens, if you like. It's where we get to meet with our Heavenly Father and to bring to be involved in His work, in not just in this area, but around the whole world. It's wonderful, isn't it? We can influence what happens in Africa amongst the church there through our prayers. But thirdly, it's to be continual. It's to be continual. It's striking again and again in the Bible. It speaks of the difficulty of prayer, the honest experience that many of us have. Paul speaks in Colossians of wrestling in prayer. What's wrestling mean? Well, it's hard work, isn't it? And we have to be commanded to pray. We've got all these privileges, but we're told to devote ourselves to prayer, to be committed, because it is a battle. It's a battle for our sinful hearts that are too small, that don't have a not big enough view of God or our needs to want us to pray. It's the things that we love more than prayer. At those moments where we want to spend a few more minutes in bed, or there's far more interest in watching TV or playing on the phone. That's the problem with prayer mate. Is it can be very distracting with your phone there and emails and things coming in as well. But it's also a spiritual battle, isn't it? We're warned that it's an area where the devil will attack us, as we're told to keep on praying. But we're to be those who pray continually. Constantly praying. Not all the time, but just in the same way that someone, you say, oh, she's always coughing. Doesn't mean she's coughing all the time. But it should be our constant habit that we are praying. And we are to persevere in prayer. We are to keep on praying for things. On the basis of God and His character, we are to keep on praying. At certain times, God may kind of lift the curtain, if you like, and show us how our prayers have been effective. He may give us that blessing of seeing actually how my prayer has been answered. We can share those kind of moments, can't we, where something that we've specifically prayed for and we can see a specific answer. But that is not the reason we pray. We are to pray. Our motivation for prayer is the character of God and the steadfastness of promises. That's what keeps us praying. Not because God answers them, but because we trust God So we keep on praying. And so on the way in, I was... I don't think this is something I'm very good at, and I don't think it's something we've been very good at church since I've been here, is persistently praying for things. And so we spoke at the review day of a couple of areas where we want to, where we things we would came out that we wanted to pray for. And you see on these that you should have been given one of these bookmarks on the way in for your penny for your prayers. And on the back of it are some of those things that came out from the review day of things that we could be praying for and we want to keep on praying for regularly. And the reason I've said a penny for your prayers is that to try and kind of as a little way of trying to encourage us to do that. What's going to happen is I'm going to put a pot on the back of the chair, on the welcome table. And what I want you to do is every time you pray for one of those things during the week, I want you to, you can have a little pot at home, I want you to put a penny in the pot. And then, on a Sunday, bring those pennies and put them in the pot at the back. And we'll see how big the pot gets. And if it's big enough, then we can buy ourselves a treat. We can, I'm not sure it'll be big enough for us all to go out for dinner, but we can go and have ice creams or something. So for the next few months, 6 months, year, I don't know, we'll see how long it goes for. But let's put a pot on the back, and will you join me in doing that? And let's see how much we can raise through that. Well, you're good. Yes, we'll do it in faith. We'll put a big pot out in faith. So again, God knows your heart, so don't just feel guilty for not praying and putting a whole load in there. That doesn't work. But just keep, the aim is to keep us praying. I'll keep on reminding us of that, but let's keep on reminding one another as well. Let's commit to praying for 20 new members to join Christ Church, for more musicians. It's wonderful to have the boys playing, but let's pray for more musicians. We love to be able to sing God's praises in that way. Let's pray for a new family it discovers each month. And let's pray for the membership as well, for ambassadors to be, owning and representing those different ministries. Let's pray that by the end of the year, we'd see those prayers answered. Well, as I finish, my voice finishes as well. I hope that hasn't been, I don't want a prayer to be a source of guilt for us. But actually, I hope we've seen it as a great privilege. It's not something we are just to do, but it's a relationship that is worked out. You see, the Lord's Prayer that we pray here is actually a summary of the Christian life. What is it? It's our relationship with God through the work of the Son, which leads us to live our lives concerned for His glory, constantly depending on Him for what we need. That is not prayer, that is life for the Christian. Enjoying relationship with God, concern for His glory, depending on Him. And what prayer is that Christian life expressed, spoken out loud to God. So let's pray we will be those who pray. Let me do that now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to say together the Lord's Prayer. So, Jamie, can you put the Lord's Prayer up on the screen?